You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, folks, funny man and legendary DJ Humble Howard is one of Toronto's best-known radio personalities. By the way, Tim, I'd just like to take a moment to say how pleasurable this is, reading the introduction without being interrupted.
We should have
him over the phone more often. We could take as long as... No, he'll hang up. Humble is also a stand-up comedian, part-time pilot, columnist, video director, golfer, and recently... Did I really write all this crap? Co-published a book entitled The Slime That Men Do. He's also a man who finds himself wondering about the reality of this God his Jewish family introduced him to back in the day. We call him our reluctant Jew. As a special favor to our good friend Tim, Howard returns to our show today to talk to me about my crisis of faith. Why am I talking to him about my crisis of faith?
Because I like him. He's a good guy.
Well, we're just going to see who influences who and what promises to be an even more disjointed discussion than the last time he was on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the reluctant Jew. Hello, Mr. Glassman.
I'm sorry, is it over yet, the introduction? God, I only have 20 minutes. Time to listen to you guys go on and on about being interrupted. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Sweet Tim, brother of mine.
Hello, my brother.
Let's just talk about, before we get to you, let's talk about me.
All right, Howard, how are you? How are you?
Well, first of all, Drew, I'm looking at the featured guests on the Drew Marshall Show on the drewmarshall.ca website.
Yes.
And, I mean, you know, there's some really big names on here. Everyone from the Prime Minister to, you know, leaders, musicians. But, you know, there's lots of obscure people that no one's ever heard of.
Yes.
And I'm wondering why, if that's the criteria, why am I not on that list? I mean, Jeff Allen? No one knows who he is. You know? I get Pinball Clemens, but Strombolopoulos?
I know.
He did All Nights for me. Dude. Why am I not on that?
Well, here's the reason you're not on our guest archive list.
Why?
Because my help has dropped the ball, and they have about 14 names that need to be added to the list, and yours is one of them.
Oh, will you? Really? Is that right? Okay. All right, let's talk about you. Are you you finally coming around to the whole idea...
to the dark side!
...that there really isn't anybody up there looking over you now and... raining blessings down upon you. And
you know, I blame it on you, man. Seriously, my life was fine until you came onto the show.
Are you serious?
No.
Are you being serious?
No, not at all.
Oh, so bring me up today, because Tim's kind of filled me in a little bit about
okay.
You've decided to have a bit of a crisis. Is it a midlife crisis of faith?
I think it is. It's got to be what it is. I just, you know, I was so in love with Mother Teresa, I followed her lead, I guess, a dark night of the soul kind of thing. No, you know what it is, man? It's simply explained by a little story that I wrote about a soldier overseas for 30 years, writing a letter once a week back home to his father and getting Jack back. That's
okay, so what, that's an allegory for what you're going through?
I guess so, because people say, well, you know, how do you know there's a God? Well, when I go into nature, and there's nature, and, you know, God speaks to me through nature. No, nature speaks to you through nature. It feels peaceful because it is peaceful, right? You don't feel God talking to you at the corner of Young and in Steeles.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know that I'm sure I had no influence on you. You're a smart guy, you read a lot, and I'm sure that at some point, someone who is as steeped in religion as you have been, I'm sure you have to question it. I mean, isn't part of the journey of religion to question every once in a while?
Apparently not. Not from some of the pushback I've been getting.
Well, what have you been? I mean, before I don't want to jump on your bandwagon here, but I want to understand a little bit of what you've been going through, because I've only heard it secondhand through Tim, who for some reason likes us both.
Yeah. Well, now
I tried to get him to like me better.
Yeah.
But
now
we didn't have any of it.
You're on my website, Drew.
Now
and right beside Howard.
Yeah. Aww.
Okay. Can we come back to me for a minute? Okay. So basically, it kind of goes like this: the things that have done it for me over the years are not doing it for me anymore. And what I've done is I've stripped away the tribal conditioning. Because I want to know if my faith is real, not just because I've been conditioned by what the tribe says, you know, how I should be conditioned, okay? So I haven't been going to church for a long time. I'm not a regular, regularly in my Bible. And I can already hear the people listening going, well, you see, there's your problem. You haven't been going to church. You haven't been reading your Bible. Okay, hold on a second. I want to know if God is real. Before I reinvest in Jesus, before I reinvest in this whole thing. I've done 30 years, and there's been no direct encounter. I'm not talking about rumors of glory. I'm not talking about a passive revelation. I mean a direct encounter. Well, people say, well, how do you want to encounter God? I don't know, in a way that I can't justify and rationalize. God, you made me. You know how my brain works better than I do. Why? I'm just saying, if Doubting Thomas got to stick his finger in your nail hole, maybe I could have a whole experience.
You know, I don't want to. I find myself listening to you and thinking, you know, should I give? I don't need to give you the other side of the argument. You've been giving it to people for years, which is, you know, people are born, live, and then die, having faith in whatever, you know, made up religion that they follow, and having had no indication or no moment of, you know, revelation where what they're doing and practicing is proved to be true or not.
Right,
they
right.
live their lives in faith,
yep.
and that's why they do it.
Right.
And I've got no problem with it. I think I said this to you last time, and Tim knows from talking to me, that I have no qualms or quibble with anyone believing what they believe. I mean, my biggest problem with religion, whether it's my own or others, has always been the nastiness, the misguided...
The fundamentalist whack jobs.
Even the non-fundamentalist whack jobs. The idea that so much is done in the name of religion.
Yeah.
And I also think, too, that people abdicate a bit of maturity, and I'm not saying this about anyone, maybe not you two, but there's an immaturity for me with people who place their lives in the hands of, whether it's a doctrine or it's a dogma. That's pretty good, though. What I just said?
Wow.
You guys hear that?
One more and it's 3D.
Yeah. If I go for the three, the doctrine, the dogma, or the drama. Thank you very much.
See, I told you we should have him on.
My point about those people is I think they abdicate responsibility
right.
in the name of religion. Now,
right.
you've never been that guy, I don't think.
No, I've spent 30 years rejecting the temptation to bow down at the altar of experiential. And so what I've done is, you know, I've said, okay, I know that an experience, I've met people who've had those wacky experiences, and they've built a platform around it. And to be honest, most of those people are nuts. So I've tried to do the mature, responsible, logical, methodical relationship with, and I'm just at a point now where I go, okay, look, daddy, seriously, if you're daddy, if you're God and the father thing, and I'm supposed to get off, hello, would you take my hand, please?
So, well, I mean, I heard about this from Tim, that you've had this crisis of faith or whatever, and I thought to myself, why is he calling me to talk him off a ledge? I'm like the last guy. I'm going, jump! Do it, man! Come on! Come on over! Hey, Drew, come on over! Come on over to this side where we sit around going, really? They really believe they're writing their name in a book
yeah.
during Yom Kippur? I mean, listen, and I would never... I've got all my friends and family that are still following parts of Judaism, and whether they're Jews or there are people following parts of what other religion... I mean, we all cherry-pick parts of the religion that
yes.
suits our lives.
Yes.
But when I, just last month during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I actually thought to myself, there's people that are fasting today, hoping that God writes their name in the good book on that day so that they'll have luck and whatever,
yeah,
good,
yeah.
good
yeah.
fortune
yep.
will follow them for a year. And I thought to myself, do they really, when they're driving on the DVP, do they really think that's true? And obviously we've had this discussion before, both on the air and over beers, that it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not intellectually. It matters in their heart that there's a faith, and then it's almost like a cultural guide that makes them feel better, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, all right, so let me ask you this. Screw religion. Is there a God?
No, there isn't.
And you know this how?
I know that there's no God because...
So you're an atheist. You're not a reluctant Jew. You're an atheist.
You knew that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't really think... I mean, here's why I know there's no God, because forget the 30 years you put in. What about the 6,000 years that the Jews have put in? I mean, all those wonders in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and in the Quran,
yeah.
all those wonders, as I point out to anyone who will give me a couple minutes, is they were all made up by human beings just like us. I mean, they're the same species as us. It's not like we're monkeys and they're some other species. All this stuff was put down in a book by other human beings, people just like us, 6,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. It depends what book you're talking about. Again, my point is that those books, And those stories were all basically explanations for things that were happening in life. So we don't need to be explained. I know I've made this point before, but let me do it again.
Yeah, please.
We don't need any more explanation as to why the sun comes up in the morning. We know why it does. We know why there are sometimes lights in the sky and sometimes not. I'm telling you what I believe in. I believe those seven Air Force guys that did, I don't know if you heard about this, about a month ago. I know I'm on a bit of a tangent, but I'm going to get my point, I promise. But so a month ago, these seven Air Force guys, 30 years of experience between each of them, they were like really credible guys, came forward and had a press conference talking about how they believe they've seen UFOs. I believe more in that than I believe that God parted the Red Seas or spoke to Moses with a red bush. Red bush. A red fiery bush.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so...
did I make a point there? Did you understand what
I'm
saying?
Yes, I got it. You were just an arrogant atheist.
I'm not arrogant at all. I'll tell you what I am.
You're realistic!
All that stuff that happened in the Old Testament, has that ever happened again? Seriously. I mean, in the New Testament, Jesus fed the masses with loaves and fishes. Has that happened again? I mean, you know, really, have there not been any other miracles? Did we not deserve a miracle in 1943 when millions of people were being killed?
We got to go, because you got a life.
I mean, we got to go. I got six more minutes. Don't give me that crap. I got stuff to say.
I got to go to Valerie Bure, man. You know, I bet you
his name will be on the list of guests. I like you better when you love Jesus.
Oh, man.
Here's what's happened to you. I think you and Jesus had a fight, and now you're like looking around for someone else to love.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get back with Jesus. Yes, you are. So
okay.
I don't want to say, here's my problem. It's like when you break up with a chick. I don't want to say anything bad about her.
Right.
Because if you get back together with him, and I'm all like, oh, Jesus is... Remember when Jesus mistreated you and spent all your money? And you're like, oh, I got back with Jesus. I love him. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say anything bad about
your boyfriend. That's funny. I know funny, and that's funny.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
That was very good.
No, but I do want to propose this little thing here. If I get my nail hole experience, excuse me?
Okay.
If I get my nail hole experience.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means, by the way, so...
Well, when your people killed Jesus,
yes.
The nails went in his hands, and
yes.
One of his buddies that followed him around, Thomas. Said, okay, he's dead, right? And they went, no, he's risen. Well, I'm not going to believe he's back to life again, thank you very much, until
right.
I put my finger in his nail hole, and apparently...
Oh,
So if I get my wish, if I get my encounter with God for Christmas...
And you are, and it's confirmed in your... bizarre mind that it actually is true.
Right, but you know, if a pessimist can confirm it,
right?
I mean, I'm a doubting jerk. If that happens and I share it with you,
yeah,
what are you going to give me?
I'll tell you what, dude. You come to me. You bring Jesus to my house, and say, look, doubting Glassman, Jesus is here. I'm going to go. I'm going to be all over it.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him a piggyback ride.
Okay. All right. You can wait. Is that you can't do that on a certain day, right? Because you can't touch the skin of a pig on a certain day.
Even that's ridiculous.
The Super Bowl's out.
When you actually look at all the rules,
yeah.
So doesn't it just make you shake your head and think, you know, God or no God, these books are dumb. They're dumb. I mean, and I wouldn't, God forbid, anyone cast aspersions on other religions, but I mean, when I hear and follow the conversation about a mosque at Ground Zero and people, you know, in the burqas and, you know, appearing in French courts. I just think to myself, all of this is because of a book written by other nitwits just like us.
Yeah.
And it causes all this stuff. You think to yourself,
stop.
Are we ever going to grow out of it?
Stop. You're polluting my mind.
I know.
I'm trying to hang on to the ledge, dude.
Jesus is your boyfriend. You're breaking up with him. Yo, Jesus, I don't find you. You know what? It's like you've been married to Jesus too long. Like any other relationship in the last 30 years, you don't want to see them anymore. You want to hang out with your friends like Howard and Tim. Forget it, Jesus. I'm going out again. Not another Friday night, Drew.
Oh, you are a freak show. Humble Howard Glassman on the Drew Marshall Show. Possibly my last show ever.
Dude, you better get me on your page.
Yeah, I'll get you up there, all right?
I love you guys.
You're my religion.
Hey, stop it.
All right, dude, we'll talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
Let me tender.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Howie.
All right, very, very short break. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.